This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome, everybody, to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm Mark Bertrand, alongside my trusty sidekicks, Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. The win for the Patriots today, not all that pretty. They squeak one out, 17-16, the final over the New York Jets. With the win, Patriots now 12-3 on the year. With the loss, the Jets fall to 3-12 on the season. But this was not the type of win that I think we expected going into this game for the Patriots. There was a controversial play on the final drive of the game for the Patriots in which Danny Amendola did get a first down at midfield. We will get into that play. We will discuss that play. But there is plenty of other things to discuss as it relates to this game today for the Patriots, who trailed in this game at halftime. They went into the locker room down a field goal, 10-7.
They went into the fourth quarter trailing.
And we're in the trailing in the fourth quarter of this game against the New York Jets, who, in my opinion, in a lot of people's opinion, not a very good football team. But I said it
can't
before
prove that by the two games they played the Patriots.
But as I said before the game, they have managed to keep it close on a number of occasions against the Patriots. Andy, you said second time around that typically hasn't been the case. Well, that sure was the case today in this game.
Yep.
It really was. And so is it that this team is not playing well right now? Or is it something to do with the Jets? Is it playing down to the level of competition? What do you point to as the reason why the Patriots looked the way they did today?
Well, we talked about it early, the keys to the game. You know, Paul had stopped the run, and they were okay at times, weren't okay at others. And then, more importantly, you can't let that defensive front dominate. And I thought that defensive front was really good. You didn't run the ball. You had four sacks in the first half. Brady was off, and all of a sudden, you're in a dogfight and hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, I'm more with Andy's second point than the first. I thought we all know. We've seen the Tom Brady under pressure before, and he just doesn't seem right when he's dealing with a lot of people around him. And today, from the first pass of the game, he was dealing with a lot of pressure. He didn't look comfortable. He didn't look like himself in the pocket. And I thought, as a result, the Patriots had to completely change their offense. I thought late in the third quarter, they went with the hurry-up. They put Shane Vereen in the game, and that drive was really the only drive they had all day. It resulted in a field goal. But all of that pressure, I think, knocked the Patriots out of their comfort zone offensively, and that was the difference in the game. You know, the Patriots' offense did nothing in this football game today, and I don't think any of us saw that coming.
No, Tom Brady did not look good throughout the course of this game. The lack of Julian Edelman in this game, don't know how big of a factor it was, because Danny Amendola did finish the day with 8 catches and 63 yards. And I mentioned the play where he had that first down late, had a couple of catches there late in the game. So I don't know that that was, you know, you can't point to that as being one of
Amendola
the reasons
Amendola was
why.
Terrific.
He was fine. He
did exactly what we said he would. He did a reasonable facsimile of Julian Edelman, right down to the 39-yard punt return that set up their first touchdown.
And that's what he was. But Brady on the day, 23 of 35, 182 yards passing, did have a touchdown, also had a pick, had some near picks as well in this game. And as you said, he was sacked four times in the game as well. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured from this one. Patriots get a win over the New York Jets, 17-16 in the final.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
Don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
and the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
Let's start with this really good one for the Patriots, and it's this. With the win, they have clinched a bye for the first round of the playoffs, so we know they will be at the very minimum the 2 seed. And, of course, they are still leading the way for the 1 seed here as they approach the final week of the season now. But as it stands, the worst thing that can happen to the Patriots is they end up with the 2 seed. They will have a bye. That, to me, is the biggest good takeaway here, is that they did get the win, and how no matter how they did take care of business, they did come out of there with the W today, and they do get that bye. Put that at the top of the good list. Now, as we talk about the game itself, what was good?
Well, I think you mentioned Danny Amendola stepping in and doing his job as, I don't know if people are going to be happy money-wise and all that crap, but as his backup to Julian Edelman. And let's just label him that. Forget the contract or what he was supposed to be. As Julian Edelman's backup, he came in, he led the team in catches, he made some plays, had a big punt return. So Danny Amendola, I thought, filled that job as Julian Edelman's backup quite capably.
I thought the run defense, for the most part, was pretty good. And there were some early in the third quarter, I thought the Jets got it rolling a little bit on one of their drives. I think it ended up in a field goal to make it 13-7 with Chris Johnson. They had one series where Johnson had a pretty good first down run, called back for a hold, first and 20, 3 runs for a first down. Other than that, I thought you were a little higher
on the run defense than I was.
Well, 32 carries for 116 yards, I'll take against a team like that that's just going to pound away at you. 3.6 a carry. I thought their work in the red zone was helpful in forcing them to kick field goals. I thought the run defense was pretty good in this game, considering they were playing a team that was going to run the football. No matter how well the Patriots stopped the run, they were going to continue to run it. They were going to get opportunities. And I thought, with very few exceptions, they had very few what I like to call the efficient runs, where they get 4 yards or more, or a run that results in a first down or touchdown. Their percentage was very low, about 25% today for the Jets. I thought they were pretty good stopping the run.
In the game, Jets on the ground, 32 carries for 116 yards, and as Paul mentioned, 3.6 yards a carry in this game for the Jets.
Yeah, I thought they controlled the line of scrimmage in the first half. I thought, you know, you had those couple early, was it Branch and Wilfork or whatever, and then, you know, they churned out whatever it was, almost 20 attempts in the first half. They were winning the game. I thought they controlled the line of scrimmage. I thought the tackling from the Patriots was piss poor at times, where guys were getting hit, where they could have absolutely dominated the ground game, and then a guy gets hit at the line and allows a 5-yard run. And the tackling, by the way, wasn't limited to just the running game. The tackling sucked in some of the passing game, too. I thought the run defense was a little better, actually, in the second half. I didn't think it was as good a performance as I expected coming in, because you know they're going to run. And you supposedly had a top 10 run defense, and were telling yourself you were good. And I was a little disappointed in that effort.
Where would Vince Wilfork slot into all this for you today? I thought he played a decent game.
I thought he was fine.
Those guys inside. Andy's right. Yeah. The trouble came when some runs got bounced outside by quality play inside.
Yes.
And there was some shoddy tackling at times. That's another reason why I thought the run defense in general was pretty good. Because even some of the gains they got weren't, you know, Chris Ivory must have broken 4 tackles on one play to get anything really sustained. So I guess we can agree to disagree. I thought 3.6 yards a carry for a team that makes a living trying to run the ball. I think most teams would have stopped running the ball today, given the lack of success that they had. The Jets don't have that luxury of being able to stop. They have to just keep running it. And they ended up with 116 yards, which doesn't look bad, but it took them 32 carries.
Well, it's well below their average. Yeah. I think they're like 147 or something is their average. So, yeah, you held them well below their average.
And the 3 field goals that they forced, largely as a result, you know, they had a 3rd and 4 late in the game, I think, but they could have taken the lead with a field goal, and they ended up getting a 10-yard sack. I think that's a situation where the Jets a lot of times will run the football. I don't think they had confidence that they were going to pick up a first down on that play if they had run the football. Now, I personally think they should have. I think they should have looked at that and said, we're going to run the ball here, and if we get close enough, we're going to run it again. And try to, because I think if they could have taken 2 or 3 minutes off the clock and scored a touchdown, they'd have won the football game today.
Oh, they had
on that drive
every opportunity to win this football game today, just like they did last time. You know, I tweeted it out. You had a turnover that kind of turned the game, I thought, by Geno Smith. A bad throw, a bad decision, sort of jumping, didn't follow through, and I know he was getting hit. But that was his first turnover against the Patriots this year. And I thought that kind of swayed the game, because they played a clean game sort of on their terms to some degree. And, yeah, they could have stolen one just like they could have stolen the first one. Imagine that if they'd swept the Patriots this year.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we were looking, just kind of watching the different scores around the league, and I made the comment to you guys that Pittsburgh is 9-5. I think they're going to be 10-5 because they're going to beat Kansas City today. They lost to the Jets, who have 3 wins, and they lost to the Bucs, who have 2. I mean, they could be tied with the Broncos and the Patriots at 12-3. And I think Pittsburgh stinks. You guys know that.
Well, that's because, as you heard me ranting on the way down, the whole league stinks. I'm sorry. It's even some of these games
today. Look at
Baltimore
today.
Bloodbath. I was going to say bloodbath, and it's coming out of J.J. Watt's nose.
What an egg Baltimore laid today. And that's a team that a lot of people, myself included, think that would be a formidable opponent in the playoff situation. And they didn't even show up today against the Houston Texans.
I'm starting to think he does it on purpose. You know how wrestlers cut themselves with a blade?
Yeah, you think he punched himself?
Yeah, he's like, you know what I need? I need some good photos. Cover of Sports Illustrated this week. This is going to help my MVP candidacy if we get some photos of me and blood out there. Rodgers, Brady, they're not good anymore. I'm going to get it.
I'll tell you, you know that whole thing, we were talking about the MVP too, and Brady had, what, 150 yards or so today, so you know he was getting a little bit of talk for the MVP. And a lot of people have said, well, you know, J.J. Watt deserves consideration, but a defensive player is never going to win it. It's been, what, 25 years since LT won it or whatever. If there were a year that you could think of something like that happening, I think this would be the kind of year because you're right. I mean, nobody's been dominant. There has been no dominant performances this year. And J.J. Watt has been dominant.
And his team is competitive.
Yeah. I mean,
they went from the number one pick to 8-7. They're above 500. And with a quarterback, they'd probably be knocking on the door of the postseason.
I mean, now they're working on their fourth quarterback.
Right, and they're beating, you know, playoff contender type teams.
And handily.
Oh, yeah.
Although the game is not over. It's still 6 minutes left.
Any more good ones that we want to put in that category?
Good. What did we do? We did Danny Amendola, the run defense. Both Brandon LaFell and Shane Vereen in spurts stepped up a little bit, made some plays that they needed. LaFell had that catch down the sideline. Vereen all of a sudden started making a few plays there. There was no consistency to the offense, so it's hard to say, you know, all these great things on offense. But I thought those guys, when they needed a play, made a play.
All right, now let's get to the bad. Where do you want to start?
The offensive line. It's where we started with the pregame show. Don't let the other team's front dominate it and screw it up for you. You let the other team's front screw it up for you. 4 sacks in the first half. They actually started Josh Klein at left guard, yanked him, moved Wendell to left guard, brought Cameron Fleming in, as we had sort of talked about pregame, and I don't know, they just weren't very good.
They got you out of what you wanted to do offensively. They made you change your offensive plan, and that's becoming a problem. And I know that Conley was out, and they'll probably have him for the playoffs, but Conley was not playing well.
I was going to say, Conley's not, you know, John Hanna.
He was not playing well, and I don't know if that was just because of injury last week, but he really struggled, I thought, with Audric at times and against Miami. So I'm with Andy. This is, you know, it hasn't been as bad overall as the first month was, but this is reminiscent of the first month where the other team is blitzing and someone's coming in free.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
That never used to happen to the Patriots. A blitz, okay, every once in a while they catch it, but, you know, it's a guy missed a block. Today, the first sack of the game, they had an overload blitz on the defensive right side, so coming off the left. Solder got a hand on, I think it was Richardson, or one, I forget which one it was. Another guy came free inside. Antonio Allen, I think, was a blitzer on that, came completely free. They had 3 guys come in. One of them was touched, and all 3 of them got to Brady. That never used to happen to the Patriots, where it's like a jailbreak and everybody's coming free. So that's something they got to clean that up.
Nobody picked that up. Nobody picked that up. And I think we were.
And Klein ended up getting
benched.
At
the time, we thought Klein there because to that side, and he made no movement to the outside.
Yeah, but you know
there.
What? If I'm going to blame it on communication, I'd like Solder to dominate the guy he picks to block.
Yeah, because he did not make a good block on the play either.
The guy who was unblocked beat him there, but there's a chance Solder's guy would have got there too.
Right,
if you're going to have, say, okay, we had a communication error, well, block one of them.
Block the guy that you might get the wrong guy, but block the wrong guy.
Right, instead of it looking like crap all the way around, I say we rekindle it. Where's Dante Scarnecchia?
So
Christmas bonus. Send him a Christmas bonus. Get him back in here as a consultant. We don't need Rex Ryan as a consultant. We need Dante Scarnecchia.
Here's what I think.
I like what Rex Ryan did defensively today.
That's true, too.
One of the biggest questions, I think, going forward with this team is, are the problems of the offensive line potentially the Achilles heel of this team?
God, yes.
Because, you know, we knew it was an issue at the beginning of the season. It got better to the point where you said, okay, they can get by like this. They can. They've improved. they're having good games. You can get by with this. They might not always look this good, but you can get by with it as long as it's not as terrible as, let's say, Kansas City was.
Right.
Are they now trending back towards being what they were at Kansas City?
And I just think they are. I mean, how long ago was Green Bay? You sucked at Green Bay. You sucked in San Diego. You weren't very good this week. That's a month of football. That's okay, so you say the first quarter of the season we sucked and the last quarter of the season we sucked. Well, guess what? Maybe we suck.
Maybe. Maybe that's the case. The phone number for you is 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. You can email us as well, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Let's go on out to the phone lines and on the Ace Ticket Hotline, joining us from MetLife Stadium after his team's win, is Silver Salinga joining us after this win for the Patriots today, 17-16. Silver, congratulations on the win, getting out of there with the win and escaping this game, and congratulations on getting the bye as well. How did you think your team played in this one today?
Thank you. I mean, we knew it was going to be a grind. I mean, we knew it was going to come down in a game like this, especially because, you know, it's a big rivalry game. And we knew coming into this that, you know, it was going to be physical.
How do you feel like your team met that physicality? Obviously, this is a Jets team that they want to run the football, and they ran it a lot today, but didn't have a ton of success. You guys held them to 3.6 yards a carry. Do you feel like you met that physicality?
Yeah, I think we did a good job today, you know, standing up to the run game and, you know, knowing that every quarter was going to be a grinding quarter. You know, it wasn't going to be no easy plays we were going to have today. And we knew they were going to come straight at us, and they're going to test us to see how we would do up front.
So can you sort of talk about some of the challenges the Jets present in terms of their running game? Because unlike most teams in the NFL, it seems like they have – obviously they commit to the run. They want to run the ball a lot, but they do it in some different ways. How challenging is it to sort of go up against an offense like that?
You know, it's real challenging, you know, especially because they have a lot of weapons. Their running backs, you know, they're good. You know, going against them today, you know, I knew that they were good just in the fact that – you know, we had to play real patient with them. And we knew that, you know, with their running backs, we couldn't over-pursue because then that would just cut back on us. They were fast. They ran hard for sure. And we just knew that, you know, we had to get on these running backs quick.
Silver, I know you weren't out there earlier in the season, the first go-around with the Jets, but was there some sort of effort today to keep Geno Smith in the pocket and make him make throws as opposed to, as you just said, kind of over-pursuing and having him take off?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we went into this knowing that, you know, Geno, he's good on his legs, too. So we wanted to try to keep him in and make him play as a quarterback and throw the ball.
You obviously, as Mark said in the intro, you guys clinch a bye here. And what do you feel like the momentum is for this team right now heading into the finale against the Bills and then obviously moving on to the postseason?
You know, we're excited. You know, we're excited for this game, and we're excited to try to end this the right way. You know, try to play the Buffalo the way that, you know we can. You know, and luckily we're going to play at home and we're going to have our fans behind us. So, you know, it's going to be great. We're excited to play next Sunday.
And you got yourself in there involved in a big sack in the fourth quarter. That must have felt good for a big run stuffer.
you know, I tell these guys all the time, you know, they're too good to me. Tanner does what Tanner does. And he's the reason why, you know, he came to me. Tanner fed me. I told him I was hungry.
Feed the big man. Feed him. Now, we saw you kind of have a little bit of a celebration there, but if we see you get a little more active, maybe pick up a few more sacks in the coming weeks, are we going to see some of that expand and maybe bring some, some traditional Samoan dances to the mix?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just got to take it one play at a time and try to make those plays. And when they do present themselves, you know, I'll make sure to have Chandler there with me.
But one more for you. As you get ready for the playoffs and you're talking about guys like Chandler, he's back, you're back. Do you feel like the group is coming together and kind of gelling here late in the season?
You know, with Big B in there, you know, he's really taking control of, you know, our inside interiors. And then we have Chan come back, and then, you know, we have a big Rob outside. And so with these guys, you know, they've taken control of us, and, you know, they've put us under their wing, and we're all just rolling now. You know, we're out there having fun. You know, we know what's at stake every week, but, you know, they just help us take it one week at a time, one play at a time, and one quarter at a time, you know, one series at a time. They they did a good job helping us out, you know, calm our nerves and not get too excited, but also to keep us excited.
One last question real quick. There was some confusion, at least on the TV broadcast and with us as media members watching, late in the game there with the short yardage play that was, it looked on TV, they thought it was fourth and short. It looked like they measured and came up short, yet the stick said first down. What were you hearing, thinking, seeing on the sideline in that little, and then they reviewed it and all that?
You know, it was a bunch of confusion, but I'm just glad we got a first down. You know, I can't complain about it. You know, I'm just excited that, you know, we got a first down.
The refs got it right,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They marked it good. They marked it real good.
The ref on that call.
Well, enjoy the win, Silver.
Thank you.
1 week at a time, one more regular season to go. Silver Salinga, congratulations on the win, and thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. See you guys later.
All right. Take care.
I'm gonna play the role of Tony Mazz on your show.
Are you?
After that answer, I'm going to say, okay, so they screwed that up. You know, like Tony likes to read between the lines, yeah, based on what, like, Cam Neely says.
Yep. Yep. Oh, so they screwed it up. Oh, okay.
I did have one more I wanted to ask.
They are crediting him with a blocked field goal, huh, Vince?
Yeah, they are saying they got his fingertips on
there.
He
nicked it. Just the tips.
Yeah, you know, even if he didn't.
I think he nicked it as much as they were short on the first down for him and Dole.
Well, I even if he didn't get his hand on it, I don't think that kick was going to be
not a prayer.
Good. And you know what?
And you could tell in the previous kick that he made,
right,
that he would not have a prayer of making a long one.
That 37-yarder that he had was a soft kick.
And you could tell he didn't think he had a prayer. He was aiming and, like, willing it through the uprights instead of just driving through the football.
Kicker dealing with a hip injury, so that came into play, and I don't think that kick was going to be good whether Vince got his hand on it or not. But he apparently did. They reviewed it and looked at the tape, and the statisticians give him the block on that one.
It does say in the official
game
book that it was tipped by Vince Wilfork.
Also says in the official game book, Patriots got a first down.
So it's as official as the official game book can be, right?
I think that was – I mean, people are telling me camera angles and all this. I go with the Paul Perillo thing. If this were the replacement refs, it would be like, we got to get the real guys back. They can't even officiate a game. They can't even. By the way, is it also true
exactly
that
right,
you don't have to reach the stick for a first down?
You have to touch it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't touching it.
Exactly. People are trying to tell me it's not the
sticks
that
reach the stick.
This edge of the stick is like the edge of the goal line.
You don't have
it's
to get it past the stick.
No.
As long as it's touching the stick. And it
has
wasn't
to reach the stick.
Right. I know Cameron.
And I also think that the spot was wrong.
Well, the spot
was
wrong.
I think they gave him
the bounce. That was the bigger error.
But
of
at least
the two
there's
errors.
Some interpretation on a spot. There's no interpretation on whether
I think what happened
reach.
Was the guy at the top that was coming in from the jet sideline had a spot further back than the guy who came in from the bottom, and the guy from the bottom ended up winning, which makes no sense to me because the ball was at the top
of the screen, right?
But at the top of the numbers.
On the numbers on that side of the
field. On the numbers on that side. They went with the guy on the other side. If I were the Jets, I would feel like they were screwed on that play.
And if it had gone the other way, I just know we would be bombarded by those screen captures of the measurement.
Please. I mean, that would be ridiculous.
And people are going to say, oh, it went the Patriots' way. Yeah, I understand you're happy. I just hate when it's controversial, when you're pointing to stupid calls. And Paul's right. Every week you point to a stupid call on something.
They impact the game. Every week they impact the game.
You know how I give them the excuse? The Brandon Browner hit. That's full speed. It's a bang-bang play. You got to call it. Okay.
Right.
There was nothing moving when they place sticks on the field. Or guess what? When a runner is down, there's no movement there. Just show me where he stopped moving and then show me whether he reached the stick. If you can't make that call, then you can't do anything.
We got any other... bad.
I think the biggest one and the big glaring one is the offensive line. I mean, there were some other things that were bad in this game for sure.
Logan Ryan,
I was
going
to say, point to the secondary. There
even Geno Smith,
going on
who's
there.
A sub-70 passer rating type guy, knows if I see 26, I throw toward 26.
Yep.
It's very simple.
And that's
and Geno Smith stinks.
The secondary today wasn't great. There were a lot of open guys.
Yeah,
today.
There were.
And
Geno Smith actually, he missed some really bad throws early.
Yeah.
He didn't miss as many as it moved on.
And some of the ones that he completed, he missed,
yes.
You know, there was one in particular on a third and short, he ended up throwing the ball, and I think Harvin ended up having to turn his body, and he fell down when he made a catch about 2 yards short of the first down, and then allowed someone to come up and touch him before he struggled early in the game. He made some good throws later in the game as the game progressed. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that that's a team that can't throw the football when it has to. And, you know, you get a third and four from the red zone that you end up taking a 10-yard sack and then making it a 52-yard field goal with an injured kicker, and you lose. You lose as a result of plays like that. That's why they're 3-12.
Yep.
because you can't win without quarterback play.
That's why you're the Jets.
That's why
you're But I'll say again, you know, these people that, you know, they say, like, the Jets haven't had a good defense. I mean, I don't know what they're – I mean, that's a team that has no support whatsoever from its offense, and they still find a way to keep their team in the game most times. This is like four in a row now. They don't win them, but they stay competitive, and it's only because they play competitively on defense.
Here's the phone number for you, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com. The email address. No injuries to speak of from this game, so they're good on that front.
They were all hurt before the game.
They didn't lose anybody on that front. The guys that were injured didn't play. If you're talking about Blunt or you're talking about Edelman, those guys did not play today, so you don't have to worry about injuries in the game, though. So that's a positive. Jets had one. Nick Mangold was hurt. He was questionable to return, even though they carted him off the field. So that was an injury in this game, but none for the Patriots, which was a good sign. So let's get to some of your thoughts on this game as we go along here on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. We will hear from Bill Belichick. We will hear from Tom Brady as well. That's coming up. But in the meantime, let's go to Liam in North Carolina. What's up, Liam?
Little Patriots.
I love it, Liam.
Love it, Liam. You were never worried, were you?
Yeah, I had to get my son involved again.
I was
a little worried in the first half. But, and that's mostly because I wasn't wearing my hoodie, and that's bad luck when I don't have my hoodie. I had it in the wash.
Oh, Jesus.
Put it off the second half, we came back.
Of all the days,
hello?
You have it in the wash.
You
Liam.
Had 6 days to wash it. Prior planning prevents piss-poor performance.
Man, that's what happened with the Green Bay game. I didn't
do
have it.
Your job, Liam. Do your yeah. job.
So... Yeah, Patriots got an early Christmas gift with that fourth down that wasn't a fourth down. I don't know how that happened, but I'm glad it happened. But we probably would have done the QB sneak and had it anyway. I don't really think that would have changed the game much.
If they did not get that fourth down, that's the only way they could have lost. I think they might have had a punt.
And even if they punted though, Paul, do you think they lose the game? I don't
know, but if they
not.
Get stopped on fourth down, I think they could have lost the game. If they punted, I don't think they could have lost the game because I don't think the Jets were going 60 or 70 yards. But they might have been able to go 30 to get, you know, to get in field goal range. I would have punted the ball in that situation. Even though, you know, I don't think the quarterback sneak would have worked because I think the Jets would have made them do something
different.
And
they had already done it once in the game.
Right, but it was in a situation where it wasn't necessarily an obvious sneak situation. This on fourth and inches, I think they would have had the center covered up.
Yep.
And they would have forced the Patriots to do something different.
Longest drive of the day for the Jets was 87 yards, and it took like 7 minutes. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't think they were going to go 80 yards down the field. Their second longest one of the day was 66. That ended in the field goal. So, go ahead.
Yeah, so Fred's going to be pissed because Gray sucked. I mean, I like Gray. I think he's going to be good later on, maybe a year or two from now. Fred's definitely not going to be happy after this one.
In his sixth or seventh year of pro football, yeah. Coming to his own.
You know, it's hard because the Jets' front is good, and I don't necessarily think anybody would have had a great day against that front the way this offensive line is playing. But what did he finish with, yard a carry?
Six carries, 5 yards.
Yeah, with a long of four.
And he had four in his first run of the day.
So 5 carries, 1 yard. That's not good.
I think the one good you guys missed was Collins. He was my favorite player of the day, besides obviously Revis.
I didn't think Collins was that good today.
I didn't think Collins was great.
I thought he did a pretty good job.
Tackling.
Considering
went down.
I thought he missed
too.
Tackles. I thought he lost track of some receivers. He had an interception that was basically thrown to him.
Yep.
But
as Bill would
I didn't
say,
think he had as good a game as he's been playing the last few weeks.
As Bill would say, write this down. Write this down. Tackling.
All right.
Tackling.
All right, guys.
All right, Liam.
Have a good Christmas, and talk to you guys next year.
You do the
you
same.
You too, Liam. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hi, Melvin.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
What's going on, my man?
Not much, man. Now, that was scary.
Yeah, we didn't need that today, did we?
No, we did not. This is Sunday. I'm supposed to be sitting up eating, and I'm tasting, and I can't eat. You know, I was supposed to be eating dessert. I just can't eat when there's stuff like that happens.
I'm supposed to be eating dessert.
Wait,
Melvin.
Eating, watching TV. Huh?
Melvin, what kind of desserts are we talking?
Oh, we got some Hershey's pie downstairs. You know, I want to eat my Hershey's pie. And, you know, I got my chocolate chips. I always get all that stuff on Sunday so I can sit back, watch my Patriots win, and relax on Sunday. But for some odd reason, when we're losing to the Jets, I don't think I can. I have not been able to eat. I wanted my plate was downstairs hot and ready 2 hours ago. I did not eat.
I don't think that's odd in any way. I can see why this performance on some level would have had your stomach kind of churning and not being able to enjoy your Hershey's pie.
No, you would be surprised if some of this. The Patriots lose, I start fouling my nails. I never foul my nails. I get so nervous that we're about to lose. I mean, it completely changes my day. Completely.
Because I get it.
Once I'm in halftime, I go lift weights. I go do whatever I need to do to relieve that stress. Because I don't know. I'm devoted to this team. And when we come out, we're looking like that. It throws me completely off. Completely off. Don't answer my phone, no nothing. I just wait to call the show. That's it. But man, getting to this game, I'm tired of these penalties. It was after amount of times where I'm like, and it's somewhat like I'm accepting it somewhat because I'm used to getting so many penalties now. But it's like,
they have a lot of
Marcus Cannon.
Yeah, that was a bad false start.
It was a bad. It's like it's not the penalties. It is the penalties. It's the dumb one.
It's mental mistakes.
False start. Yes. Like that was key. Didn't he do that in San Diego too?
Yes, he did.
On the goal line, he did. Yes,
first and goal. Yes. Back it up.
I had five penalties.
Right. There. How is he playing? It's funny to me that he does nothing. Like Andy said the one time, I hate that this. He comes in and screws up.
Yes. And they're still doing the shoulder switch and some of that.
They're not only playing him, Melvin. They gave him an extension. They're patting him on the back.
Patting him on the back.
I'd be patting him on the back, too, the ass on his way out the door.
Exactly. I just don't understand how he gets prayed. I mean, it just throw me off. I think that would be more that I would assume that the penalties would have, like, kind of went down after a while. I really did think, you know, towards the beginning of the year.
I did, too.
Well, to be fair, Brandon Bolden didn't get any. I mean, Brandon Browner didn't get any today.
We're gonna
not for a lack of trying.
I got half a pie left. I can give him a piece of pie if I get any penalties.
You go dig into that pie now.
I will. All right, man. I'll talk to all y'all later.
See you.
All right,
thanks, Melvin.
Take it easy, man. Lift weights, eat pie. You get a lot of things going on. Files his nails when the Patriots have these close
better
games.
Than biting them.
Much better than
TJ bites them all the time. Drives me crazy.
It's much better to file them than it is to bite your nails. Let's take a timeout here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. That phone number is 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. We have one open phone line right now. We get the emails coming in as well. And I want to remind you that the Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. We return in just a moment here on the program.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt. Before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio. Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Al from Italy checks in. This game was awful. Now it's three consecutive games for Tom Brady with a pick. Can someone please give him a steak? Eat a pizza and shut the bleep up, Tom. I'm so mad. Avocado ice cream is crap. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Eat a pizza.
Eat a pizza.
That's good.
And I think if you go back a little bit, it's interceptions in like 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 games too. You know, the Detroit game, he had one. And Green Bay was the lone exception, I believe, right? But he had one in San Diego. He had one against Miami. Had one this week. He had one against Detroit. So suddenly he only has 9 for the season, but it seems like they're picking up in recent weeks. He had a couple against Indianapolis.
Let's see, Paul.
I think it's 5 out of 6 games. Start with Indianapolis.
1 in Denver, 2.
He had one
Indy.
Against Denver, too?
Wow. Says 1 against Denver, 2 against Indy, 1 against Detroit, none against Green Bay, 1 against San Diego, 1 against Miami, and 1 today.
It's 6 out of 7 games.
Yeah, he the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. First 9 games of the year, he had an interception in just a single game. He had two
against Kansas City.
Kansas City. Other than that, it was zeros. Since then,
7
one,
in the last
two,
7
one,
games.
0-1-1.
7 in the last 7 games. That's very un-Brady like. And fortunately for the Patriots, and I think for all concerned, you know, all these things that we're talking about, you know, from a concern perspective with the offense, the defense once again didn't allow a touchdown in the second half. The special teams once again set up a short field for the struggling offense. Early in the game to give him a touchdown, and late in the game comes up with the Wilfork block to seal the game, to hold on to the lead. So it's that kind of complementary football that the Patriots won titles with. It's not all offensive reliance. So maybe the whole mantra, Beetle, that you and I like to rail against on Felger and Maz, offense is bad. Well, at least they're finding a way to still win the games.
True.
By the way, notice we're not talking about the Island of Doom tonight. Like, oh, we need to get a nickname for this defense.
Not
just
so much
doesn't
this
feel
week.
Appropriate.
Yeah,
this
it
week.
Just doesn't feel right this week. Adam,
because Logan Ryan was not the only one who wasn't good. They just weren't very good at all in the back end. Patrick Chung gave up the touchdown. Darrell Revis was chasing at times. Browner was chasing at times. And I know they didn't get a ton of pass rush, but the pass defense that we were looking so hard to name last week, we're not working so hard anymore.
Coverage is not Patrick Chung's strong suit. I think it's safe to say that.
Well, it's not safe to say that around Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick thinks coverage has been something he's been good at since he got here.
Adam in Virginia writes in defense of Jonas Gray. You knew it was coming. I don't understand the bashing of Gray. Two of the best defensive linemen in the game, one of the best fronts in the game, fourth-ranked rushing defense, and look what they did to Brady.
Who's bashing Gray?
There was one caller who took a shot at him.
It's not on Gray.
So one game when he doesn't perform well, you can't bash. But one game when he performs well against a really bad run defense, it's okay to praise him.
That's relevant.
That's consistency. I just want to make sure we have consistency.
Hold on a second.
I'm done.
Okay. Oh, my. I was done, too.
Just hold on.
Oh.
Just hold on a second. It's not on Gray. Beast front 7 on that team. Blunt would have sucked today, too.
Oh, it's not on Gray. But the 200 yards is on Gray. That wasn't on the offensive line.
Just out of curiosity.
Where's the consistency here? Because it seems to be lacking.
There isn't any.
They didn't run the ball well today. Okay? However,
Adam continues.
Vereen averaged over 6 yards
well,
a carry.
Well, let me
And
let
Bolden
finish.
Averaged over 6
let
yards
me
a carry.
Paul, we need to finish Adam's email. He writes, yeah, I know. Vereen had a couple of nice plays one-on-one, but they were nowhere near the same types of runs that were called for Gray.
See, I would actually agree with that on Vereen. He's running out of spread formations when they're playing pass. That's not what Bolden was running against. Bolden was grinding out the clock against stacked fronts, and he averaged over 6 yards a carry. Now, the yeah, but with that is 17 of it came on one carry. The point is, if you want to sit there and tell me that Gray is worthy of playing all the time because he had 200 yards against Indianapolis, then you have to sit there and say today he wasn't effective.
Yep. Nick,
because you can't have it both ways.
Nick from Illinois writes in, hey, guys, I feel like when we are against a mobile quarterback, there's a ton of focus on making sure they don't get out of the pocket. And it seems to be extremely detrimental to the pass rush as a whole. I wish they would just play, and if a guy gets out of the pocket, then oh well. It's why I asked Salinga about that, because I think early on that was pretty evident. They wanted to force him to stay in the pocket and make throws.
You know what else
is pretty
evident?
They didn't want him to get on the run, which I don't remember there being that emphasis. I mean, you guys might remember it better. The first game against the Jets.
No, he ran a lot that day, though.
Did he, though? I think what do you have, like 40 yards rushing or something?
Yeah. That's a lot for a quarterback.
I mean, what do you have today?
Like, oh, nothing. Today, he had nothing. But against the first time around, he ran pretty effectively in that game.
Well, I could tell there was an emphasis in this game not to let him run. They did not want him running.
I thought early.
Oh yeah, he only had 9 yards.
Geno Smith
today.
Had 3 carries for nine yards.
Today. Nothing.
I think early they had McCourty spying him some.
Yeah, I thought so too, Andy. And I don't. My larger point with this, you know, we talked about this with Aaron Rodgers. They're not a good pass rush team. When they get big leads and they can just pin their ears back and come after you with some consistency, they're able to get some pressure. But, you know, when they line up, you know the whole thing, like, well, if you can get there with 4, they don't get there with 4. They don't get there conventionally very often.
Rob in Alberta writes, what the hell is Bill thinking, having Marcus Cannon started left tackle?
That's not what happened.
He didn't.
That didn't happen.
Nate Solder started at left tackle.
Yeah, is he deliberately trying to sabotage the game? I just don't get it. This is what I get for reading emails, because it's hard to like screen all the emails as we're doing the show live. But okay,
and then you.
But you know what?
Then you do the thing like a dog, and you turn your head quizzically, like you don't quite understand.
And that doesn't come through on the radio,
right?
What?
But you did. You just turned. It's Marcus Cannon is starting left tackle.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I mean, there's a lot of things you can criticize Bill for and Marcus Cannon for, but him starting at left tackle today was not one of them.
I saw that it was a Marcus Cannon complaint, and that's why I read it.
If you were a man, I would punch you. I'd punch you right in the mouth.
So let me read this one instead. Trey from Dallas writes in. Okay, so let me get this straight. You extend Marcus Cannon, but you cut Tommy Kelly. In what world does that make sense? Well, let's check and see. Tommy Kelly is starting on a dominant defense and having a pretty solid year, and Marcus Cannon continues to get bitch-slapped, as Andy would put it. Cannon doesn't even have to make a mistake for me to be pissed about him being on the field. That's so true.
It is.
Just seeing him pisses people off.
But generally when he steps on the field, you're upset. False start, a penalty, a missed block. It hasn't been panning out.
To Andy's point, too, that to me is really, really, you know, that makes it really bad.
Yeah.
Because when you're on the field so infrequently and you're finding a way to still stand out, we talked about the San Diego play where he gets the false start as the extra guy. Today he gets a false start in a potentially important situation when they're trying to get a first down. And there are other times where he just doesn't block. I think against Green Bay, he just didn't block somebody.
Wasn't bad things happen when he's on the field. It's either a penalty
happen.
Or a sack or bad things
so
happen.
So when you're getting about 15 snaps a game, 10 snaps a game, and bad things are happening, That I think that accentuated. It's one thing if you're Nate Solder or Sebastian Vollmer, you're out there every play, you're taking on these good, you know, gifted pass rushers. Every once in a while, you're going to allow a play.
T. Willis.
You can't do it as infrequently as he's playing. You can't do that.
T. Willis finishes up the email with, I can just see the number 61, and then I start cursing out Bill. But at least we got out of a bad game. Go Pats. That's from Trey in Dallas. It's true. He's in there very little, and yet there's all kinds of complaints about his time on the field. Let's go back to the phones. Mo's in Wisconsin. What's going on, Mo? Gotta go to Mo.
Guys.
Mo.
How you doing?
What's up?
Can you hear me?
We got you.
I'm out here in Wisconsin. I listen to you guys every week after the game.
Thank you.
I just had the urge to call in because you guys sounded way too negative. Even when we lose, you sounded even more negative than that today. I understand it's the Jets and we want to pound their face in.
And you won by a point.
Yeah, we won by a point.
With the help of the Stripes.
The Jets, and I think Rex Ryan's lifelong mission is to beat the Patriots. The whole defense is designed to just torture Tom Brady, and I watch it every day, every week when we play them, or every time we play them, and it's the same story. So just a positive note that we won't be playing them next week. We're playing the Bills, and that was a pretty good defense too, and we blew them out. So on that thought, I'll leave you guys and listen to what you have to say about it.
All right, Mo.
Take it slow.
I have nothing to say.
Mo?
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think it's Rex Ryan's life mission to beat the Patriots.
And by the way, every bit of value he puts into beating the Patriots put into beating him.
Right.
They hate the Jets. They hate everything about that.
Two-way street.
They do. They both put, I think, extra emotion in this game.
And I don't understand why it's to be discredited that the defense is solely designed to stop the Patriots. Well, the last couple of times they've played them, they've stopped the Patriots. And the first few times they played them, they stopped the Patriots. So
it's worked pretty well for them so far.
That's concerning to me.
Concerning in that, what, someone else could take a look
offensively,
at the blueprint?
It hasn't been great lately. I understand how many points they're averaging. And I'm not immune to the fact that they entered week 16 as the number one ranked scoring offense in football. I don't think that they've moved the ball all that effectively lately. Today, they were under 300 yards of total offense, I think. I mean, that's a low number. That's a really low number. And you started the game forcing three and out after three and out on defense. So you had all kinds of opportunities to take control of the game today. It wasn't like you fell behind, you got out of your game plan. You started the game just struggling like crazy offensively, and it just never got any better.
Let's go to Molly or Mally in Nebraska.
That's Mally.
Mally, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? I've never actually called before. I usually just email you guys on PFW, but this would have taken too long. I got suckered into painting today, so I couldn't watch the game. And in Nebraska, they lock out. I can't listen to the local Boston broadcast on any of the apps or anything. So I was able to listen to the game through the Jets, the Jets stream, the urine stream.
Yes.
And those guys on that fourth down that wasn't, whoever the color guy is, the hobos on there, said that, oh, not only did he get the first down, I think they spotted it about 6 inches too short. So, you know, they're, just for whatever that's worth, wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, that was a weird play. Just the whole interaction of on the field, the TV, the press, but whatever. It was all, I still don't really know what happened. And Bill's right. We need cameras that are at the line of scrimmage or the goal line at all times for these types of things.
To just go up and down the field.
Right. Because don't get me wrong. The end of the play, the camera can be in the wrong spot. But by the time you're measuring, your camera should be directly even with the ball, right?
That is a point. That's on the CBS crew there.
Yeah.
Let's
not get started on the CBS crew. They were horrific.
I don't think they had a good look at the
OTIS,
the
stumbling, bumbling fool doing the sideline reports. He couldn't speak.
Well, I was speaking more to the camera angles.
No, I'm just saying.
The technical aspects.
The bad crew was evident on
Wilcox
camera.
Wilcox is awful, too.
Yeah, well, he's always awful, so what do you expect?
They were all bad. They're not perfect like us.
Solomon's Wisdom for your Twitter.
Kev,
Twitter
you know what you should have in there in your system back there is the Solomon Wilcox, Bill Belichick interview after the AFC Championship game against Indy when Indy won and went on to play Chicago in the Super Bowl. That interview is priceless. It is deer in the headlights.
Oh, yeah.
I think Wilcox may have pooped his pants.
Well, I would have, course, too.
I mean,
I would have, too.
Someone should check his drawers for him. Yes, someone should check them.
I believe that was the game that I was pooping my pants because, Paul, back me up here, AFC Championship game in Indy, we were like the only ones in the media room, and Bill was coming in, and then we were like, uh-oh.
Are we the only ones that are going to be here? Literally, when
like,
it started,
there was like
we
no
the
other media
in there.
And I was pooping my pants.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Anyway.
Yeah, because, Bill, have you ever tried to lob up softball questions after an embarrassing loss like that? It's not possible, even if you are the team newspaper.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Right. So what would we have done? You would have stared at me, and I would have stared at you, Bill. Like, yeah, can you think of that? I mean, we know our role.
You would have asked,
Bill, you looked really good today. Did you get screwed in the end?
No, you would have, like, I mean, you would have asked one of those questions that you hate. Like, why don't you talk about that?
Right. could you expand on that?
Yeah. Hey, Bill, you lost the game. Could you touch on that for us?
Yes.
You
know? Seriously. What do you do?
Paul hates those questions more than anyone.
Play the role of Burton?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I didn't say that.
Thanks, Steve.
Also known as Paul's all access,
buddy.
Buddy.
Colleague.
Oh, he just doesn't even like Steve
guess
Burton.
Not friendly.
Then.
Guess
we
like
got
one
Curran
another.
Versus Hart. We got Perillo Burton on the undercard.
Chris is in Arizona. Hi, Chris.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. Hey, better than the team.
We can check do that. In with a couple thoughts from the game today. I absolutely hate it when the Patriots make a mockery out of the investment of my hours on Sunday like this. As you can tell by my tone, I'm not happy.
No, I got that. I picked up on that. I did.
Yeah, and I got a question for you, Andy and Paul. What's up with the – I just want to know some of the terms on the extension for Cannon. Is it possible to cut him, or have they put so much in on the –
Well, they gave him $3.2 million in a signing bonus, so
yeah, 3.2 guaranteed there, so
there
probably not.
Okay, so yeah, so we absolutely get the joy and pleasure of watching
him
again.
Oh, yeah, he's here.
For at least one more year. Years.
Yeah, you may not.
And that sets up nicely. Hold on, Andy. That sets up so nicely for a nice, boring, and I, you know, forgive me for bringing up the draft right now, but it just sets up so nicely for a nice trade down out of the first round and pick up two offensive linemen to replace the two boring, lame offensive linemen that we have now. It just, you know what I'm saying? And today when Brady gets to do an MVP push or whatever, absolutely. They help him crap the bed so that he can't do that. And Rodgers has 330 yards and a touchdown and, you know, supplants Brady for the, you know, supremacy for that, you know, front running of the MVP. It's just, I'm just trying to say, like, it would be nice. It would just be a treat for the fans to kind of get some of those extras. I love the win, obviously, and appreciate that. And, you know, can't get enough and never want us to change. But, man, it is just a dull, boring product out there sometimes as a fan, just from a fan's perspective, outside of obviously appreciating, you know, getting the win. But, you know, people that are paying the hundreds to sit in the stands and watch this and, you know, at home and what have you, it's just disappointing. I just want some more excitement and, you know, better players to look at and, you know, watch every day and pull for and, I don't know. I mean, do you know where I'm coming from on that?
I know that you're frustrated, and that's where you're coming from right now, and I can understand that. But when you step back for just a minute and say my team clinched a first-round bye today, still has a very good chance to be the number one seed, came into the game with the highest-scoring team in the National Football League, and a team that many believe is the odds-on favorite to go to the Super Bowl, I think your emotion-fueled rant that you just went on will fall on deaf ears and may get you criticized by other fans. Right? I mean, I like to be as emotional as
anyone. I'm with Andy on this, and I'm never with Andy.
And I'll throw in a snide remark like, how you guys doing? Better than the team.
What do you think about that call?
It's a terrible call.
I mean,
would you rather put up 45 points and lose? That's my remark.
I don't think that's what he was saying. I think
it came across.
But, Paul, they're this high-scoring team in the NFL. They're going to be the number one seed in the AFC. They've already clinched a bye.
I didn't realize winning was boring.
I think you're taking him a little bit literally, too literally. I think that he's talking more out of being sort of concerned that here we are heading down the stretch, and yet again we're not playing, to our capabilities and what's going to happen in the postseason if we play like that. That's how I kind of read his call, not like, oh, I wish we lost today because we played a boring game and I don't want to win if we're going to play boring like that. I think literally that's what he said, but I don't necessarily think that's what he meant. I feel like if you're looking at performances like that, you're going to lose in the playoffs if you play like that.
Probably. If you play like you did today,
yeah.
But who says you're going to play like you did today?
You have enough examples
of playing much better than that this year.
It
was a little while ago we were raving about how every good team they played, they took care of, right?
Yep.
The Broncos and the Colts and the Chargers and, you know, even Green Bay, you had a chance to win that game, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now you struggle against the Jets, which is weird because everybody coming in told me when I was saying four of the last five were blowouts in the second game in this series, every fan told me it's going to be close because they're always, the Jets always make it hard on us. Yep. Well, you expected it, so why aren't you okay with it? Right? Didn't they all tell us it was going
to
be hard?
But isn't close different than, like, legitimately having a chance to lose?
I don't know. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Did you expect anything like what you saw today?
No, but I'm wrong.
I'm not going to, like, be that guy with hindsight. Oh, I saw this coming.
No, but Patriots fans expected what they saw today, a dogfight.
I don't think they did. I think people expected it to. I mean, I think Beadle took the points thinking it was going to be a close game. I don't think he thought that was going to happen.
I didn't. But,
like, there's a difference between a close game because the Jets are competitive, and we got outplayed for a vast majority of the game, and we're sort of fortunate to win. I think that's
just like you were fortunate to win the first time.
Yeah, and everybody blew that off because it was a Thursday night game. They were coming off the two injuries with Mayo and Ridley.
So I'm not supposed to take fans at what they say. I'm supposed to take them at what they should be saying.
But did you hear anybody say they were going to lose this game today?
No, but
did you hear anybody think they were going to have a chance to lose the game today?
Well, because I didn't hear
anybody. I didn't hear anybody.
It's going to be tough because the Jets always make it tough.
I think you're misrepresenting what people said about this game.
You didn't lose, so you expected a tough game that you would win. You got a tough game that you won.
Before we go to our next phone call, a little bit of news out of the AFC East. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross saying just minutes ago, Joe Philbin will return as the head coach of his team in 2015.
That puts a whole new positive spin on the Patriots' perspective, because yet another year where you dominate the AFC East.
I view that as a positive.
Because the Dolphins quite possibly could be a Jim Harbaugh-type coach away from giving you a run for your money.
Because they've got a little something going there.
They're not bad talent-wise.
Minnesota lost by safety.
Yeah, it was almost a walk-off safety. Did you see what happened in that?
I did. I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's physically choking, by the way. When you ground a snap back and, you know, there's 40 seconds left and you're punting from deep in your own end and you ground a ball back to your punter.
Took
Minnesota.
That's
a physical
that one,
choke.
Andy, just in case you're wondering.
I think I would do that as a long snapper, just so you know. I could see myself easily wilting in that situation. Yep.
Oh, boy. Max is in San Diego. Hi, Max.
How are you a good athlete?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on, Max?
step slide.
Much. Hey, a couple things. Hey, where were you guys? I was kind of hoping you guys would come out for the party in San Diego for the Charger game. You guys weren't there for that.
Yeah, Fred wouldn't let us.
Fred wouldn't let you guys come?
No, that's not true. we have responsibilities.
I'll have to talk to him about that, man.
Yeah.
Everybody else, you guys weren't there.
I know, and people actually want to see us, unlike Eric.
That's messed up.
But it's true. It's true.
And you know it's true. You know.
I'm not going to say what kind of show this was, because I can't say that on the radio.
Bleep show.
So, yeah, it was definitely a bleep show, but I don't even want to say bleep because... Yeah, I just got to keep a lock on my mouth right now. Very difficult to do that. I don't want to sound like Rex. But speaking of Rex, I just called to say one thing just for all the Patriot Nation to hear that's listening to this. I just want to say it. I know the game was kind of ridiculous. Believe me, I know that. But I just want to say it. Anybody remember Glengarry Glenn Ross?
Always be closing.
Always be closing. But that's not what I was going to say.
Okay.
Since Curly was running his mouth, I wanted to talk before the game about respect and all this nonsense. Let me just be clear when I talk to him and Rex.
Oh.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Correct.
That's true. They didn't close. Well done.
They didn't close.
That's being a jackass.
Yep. Merry Christmas to you all and Happy New Year, guys.
You too.
Thanks. Anytime you get Glengarry Glenn Ross involved.
I get yelled at. Never seen it.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
He's an idiot.
Thanks, Max.
Who's an idiot?
You.
Because I've never seen
him. Let's go eat a goddamn snack.
Andy's on edge.
Yeah, you are a little on edge. I was on edge during the game, so I hear you. I was on edge. I was.
Yeah, but I should be on edge.
Why are you on edge?
Because I feel like that, you know, I put my faith in this team again, and I predicted a blowout, and I said I was telling all the fans pregame that they would kill somebody, that the, you know, it wasn't going to be a dogfight, and the fans were right. It was a damn dogfight. I've been betrayed.
1 hour to go here on the Xbox One.
Betrayed.
Patriots post-game show on Patriots.com. When we come back, we will hear from Bill Belichick, head coach of the Patriots. That's coming up next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
All the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. What's that, Kev?
Some baby making music.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic, right?
By the way, we were 1 point away from fans wanting to hear Dan Fogelberg and that depressing.
And the snow turned into rain.
And our season went down the drain. We were this close.
Andy's favorite Christmas song.
It's a good Christmas. You need to listen to it a little bit more.
I'm going to go home and listen to it a little bit more just for you.
Put yourself in like a quiet area so you can hear the lyrics, the emotion. Yes. Feel the emotion and everything.
Maybe crawl up in the fetal position and cry a little bit.
Yes, yeah. Like Eric does.
Do you think he drinks before he does that?
And by the way,
he must.
Did you say it on the air? Yeah, you said it on the air. I just want to say that Beatle told us up in the, when we were watching the game, what his Bill Cosby joke was.
Yeah.
That was inappropriate, and it was nothing.
Not inappropriate.
Yeah.
Should we say it?
No.
But it's also proof that if I ever did anything on your radio station, I wouldn't last 5 minutes.
No, it's not just my, it's radio stations, period, because, you know, they're very careful about things.
I don't know. I think I pushed the envelope a little bit on EEI.
Yeah, well, I can't speak for them. want to remind everybody.
Can't even speak for yourself or you get in trouble.
We got a couple of days left here before the Christmas holiday. If you've got some last minute holiday shopping to do, make sure you check out and gear up for the season at the Patriots Pro Shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. Why are you laughing, Andy? Andy's laughing.
I don't mean to laugh, but the hats have been very popular.
The winter hats.
The winter hats.
They're
with
flying
the pom-pom.
Off the shelf.
I believe the on-field one that they wear is still sold out, and all the ones that look anything like it as of Friday when I was in there were sold out. Apparently those hats are like gold this winter for Christmas and all that. I mean, they're flying off the shelves.
So you can still get a hat there. I just don't know if it's going to be the hat you want. But if anybody has it, it's going to be the Patriots Pro Shop.
Of course.
Right?
Best selection around.
Patriots Pro Shop located next to Gillette Stadium. And the Pro Shop collection at Patriot Place open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or you can shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Let's get to Bill Belichick after this 17-16 win for the Patriots. The big plus, the big picture, they did lock up a bye today with this win over the Jets. And here is head coach Bill Belichick after the win.
All right, another tough game down here. But it's good to win. I felt like our team, you know, needed to make a lot of plays in the fourth quarter to win. And they did. We made them in all three phases. So, a lot of key plays at the end that, players came through on. Just, you know, one right after another, from the turnover to the touchdown to the sack, long field goal, block field goal, running out the clock. And we were able to make the plays we needed to make at the end of the game. That's a credit to the players. So take this one and move on to Buffalo.
Coach, with Julian being out, how big was Danny Amendola for you guys today?
You know, Danny did a good job. Fell did a good job. Those guys came up with a couple of real big catches for us. Key situations. Danny was, you know, had a big punt return. Thought that gave us a little spark there. Not that we were able to, you know, do a whole lot with it, but we, you know, it gave us a spark there in the first half. So, he came up big, but so did OFL. I thought we just were able to get a little more consistency offensively in the second half.
What does it say about your team that they are able to make those plays in the fourth quarter? Even a guy like Brandon Bolden comes in and gets the yardage that you need. And, you know, Hightower, Collins, all these guys just stepping up, and Vince with the field goal block. What's that mean to you as far as what you're seeing in this team being able to make those plays in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, well, that's what a team is. We all count on each other. Each guy's got an opportunity to help us in one way or another. You never know when it is or how it's going to turn out. But when we need them, we need them. And they continue to step up. Different guys, different situations, different phases of the game. But, we played good complementary football in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter. And that's what we need to do to win.
How important, maybe even today, but all season long, has a guy like Ryan Allen been to you?
You know, he's really hit the ball well 3 weeks in a row. I think he's done a real good job. And, we had a couple of big field position plays there. There's a lot of field position in that whole first half. There was a punting game. And, you know, he's done a good job for us.
Is this the kind of game you expected from Rex Ryan and his Jets coming in?
We've played a lot of games like this against the Jets.
Coach, Conley being out, you're part of that rotation with, you know, tackles in and out of the game. Is that part of the thinking there? Yeah, with their front seven and the complications that they present to you.
Yeah, well, they've got a real good front. We used Nate some as a tight end, and Cam a little bit, but mostly Nate. And then kind of rotated the guard situation in there with Josh and Cam Fleming at that right guard. Well, left guard for Josh and then right guard for Cam, and Wendy flipped back over to left guard. So we had a couple different combinations in there on the line. But look, it's a battle. They got a really good front. They got a lot of good players up there. You know, they're well coached. They got a good front that's hard to block. So we battle them.
The key build, you start with Chandler Jones. We started last week with a couple weeks ago with Jamie Collins, and then to see Vince step in and block a field goal. It's the key to something like that. How much Scott O'Brien credit gets there, and being able to have that ability to get to the kick.
Yeah, well, having coached special teams for a significant part of my career, I know how that goes. You know, when you you see a guy block a kick or you get pressure in a certain area, you try to stop that, and that usually creates opportunities for somebody else. So we've gotten from different guys in different gaps. And, you know, if a team concentrates too much on trying to stop one guy and leave an opening somewhere else, then we've got to be able to take advantage of that. And, you know, we had a stem there. We stemmed right before the snap and kind of changed our alignment a little bit. And it was a long kick, kind of like the one that, you know, we had in New England. And sort of like Chris did, you know, Vince, you know, got his hand up. Ball was probably a little bit low, but it had to be on a long kick like that. And, you know, again, the key to blocking the kick is getting in front of the ball. So, you know, Vince put himself there and made the play.
Key sack by Hightower, another good week. Red
Sox. That was a real big, you know, real big play. That was a look that we hadn't run the whole game. You know, I thought Matt Patricia, you know, made a great call in that situation. And then sack. I wouldn't say knocked him out of field goal range, but certainly made it a much tougher field goal. That'll look like they, you know, were going to punt it there with the timeout, which, you know, whatever. Well, I mean, that was the play they're going to run. Then took a timeout, and then looked like they changed their mind, went back, you know, decided to kick it. But I think those yards really probably had a lot to do with all the strategy and the changes there, and probably in the end helped us a little bit by making it a longer kick. Probably forced a, you know, forced a little bit lower trajectory. But it was a big play. You know, we got a lot, you know, a number of big plays today defensively, and. You know, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, cut down on the penalty situation, so on defense. So that was encouraging.
Final question for Coach.
You guys win the East last week, secure a bye with your win today. How important is this week for you guys, your football team?
Buffalo game?
Yeah, coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every game is important. You know, there's still something, you know, you're always playing. Every game's important. You're always playing for something. But, you know, Buffalo's got a good football team. Obviously, they had a big win last week against Green Bay. And we had a tough game with them earlier in the year. You know, we have a lot of respect for that football team. And it seems like they've gotten better through the course of the season. So, you know, I'm sure we'll have our hands full next week. We got to turn the page quickly and, you know, get on to them and you know, deal with the whole, you know, what this week is and the challenges of having the same type of week of preparation and so forth. But, you know, it's the same for every team in the league. So we just got to do a good job with that and be ready to go. But, you know, Buffalo's a good football team. Okay.
One more game to go in the regular season. That is against the Buffalo Bills next Sunday here at Gillette Stadium. As of right now, it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, Paul Perillo. 1 o'clock.
Yeah, let's hope Cincinnati does us a solid. Maybe it'll keep it at a 1 o'clock game.
Do everybody a solid, right?
Yeah.
Everybody. Because it's not just you being concerned with kickoff time next Sunday. It's about the possibility and taking some stress off or some pressure off. You can rest some guys next week.
Which now looks like more of an issue. A dozen guys were questionable. You had four key guys who didn't play because of injuries. And I know you've now secured a bye week, so there is, either way, there's going to be some time off coming, but you know, you certainly could even kind of massage it even more so if you needed.
You very well could. And that happens if the Bengals get a win over the Broncos on Monday night.
What do we think of that?
About what?
I can't get the
I mean, I know you and I picked the Broncos,
yeah,
but
the Bengals prime time thing sticks in my mind.
It's real. If they win,
you know why? Because in prime time, the game matters.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but it's even more so. And when the game matters, Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis become Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting because the game is played at night, they can't win.
No.
I'm suggesting that generally those are big games against quality opponents, and they've
And that's when Marvin Lewis realizes, oh my God, I'm two games over 500. I got to lose this one to get back to reality. Right. Jesus.
As I said.
I didn't mean to say Jesus in the week of Christmas.
Come on now, Andy. Clean it up. If Cincinnati manages to win that game, it will be because Denver gave it to them. And so I think that's a possibility with Peyton Manning. I don't know where he's at right now.
I hope he's in Cincinnati.
If I were otherwise, a Denver fan, my biggest concern right now is Peyton Manning. That's my concern. Doesn't look like himself. Doesn't look good right now. So that's what I'd be worried about in that game. Shall we go back to the calls?
We shall. I love our callers. I just want to say that. You know, we get guys that are going to get criticized for certain things, or we may even criticize them.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that people will just call and emote.
How about Elizabeth in North Carolina? Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, girl?
I'm a little upset about our win. I mean, I'm glad, yes, congrats on winning the first round by. That's awesome. That's great. Wonderful. I just hate division.
Real proud of you.
I hate when the games are this close. And, Andy, you like those competitive games.
No. See, now I'm going to have to jump down your throat, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Hey, that was well done. Well done.
You'll yell at me if I don't stop you.
Good job, Elizabeth. Good job.
I've been listening to you for a while.
This is a fantastic call, Elizabeth.
Yes, and you just made my day by doing what Fred does to me when I start to argue with Fred. You made my day. You are clearly a member of the family, and I appreciate that. But I just want to clarify. It's not necessarily the competitive games I want. I want the competition in the division with a team. And it's actually worse when you're barely beating a crappy team.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than being competitive against a 3-win team.
What I actually want to do is dominate a good team. So I, you know, in my heyday, in my perfect world, the Jets would be an 11 or a 12-win team that you as the Patriots blow out twice a year and embarrass and make them look bad, even though they think they're a good team. You still kick their ass. This was the exact opposite. The Jets are a bad football team that twice a year you gave a chance to beat you. It was awful.
I don't know. They're the only ones that ever seem to come really close like that. And you know what it reminds me of? You remember when Rex Ryan was in Baltimore? And every time the Patriots played Baltimore, it always came down to the wire like that.
Which is why I think people are funny in New England that say, let's keep Rex Ryan with the Jets. Because on one level, I agree, they're not a competitive team in terms of going to the playoffs. But the other level, they beat you or they scare you a lot.
Yep, they're Patriots kryptonite almost.
And yet,
almost.
Yet you won. So that's all that matters. There's no points for aesthetics at this point of the year, right? You clinched the bye, you move on.
Ugly but still a win, yes.
That's
Eric
right.
Was spot on with that weird but still winning thing that he said in the pre-game thing.
All right, keep that to yourself, though.
That? Whenever something weird was going to happen, but the Patriots would still win.
Yeah, if the weird thing was that it was a close game, then I would say that was weird.
Maybe it was the first,
I wasn't anticipating that.
Maybe it was the Amendola first down that wasn't a first down.
That would qualify as weird.
The weird thing was the referee was going to say first down when the ball didn't reach the stick.
And the thing was, outside of the bad spot and then not being able to read the measurement, it was everyone, I think, at the game and everyone watching on TV for sure, thought it was not ruled a first down and that it was going to be.
Well, you guys were ready to pounce all over Rex Ryan for challenging like a 6-inch. Okay, they might move the ball, but it doesn't matter. Well, yeah. Well, yes, it does matter because there's an all out brawl going on, including the camera.
The camera's involved.
The camera guy's
running. Oh my God. There are just, the Giants Rams game just turned into a brouhaha, I think, on the Giants sideline.
You know, it's a good thing.
Wow.
It's a good thing they've instituted like the trash talking and the sportsmanship, because
right.
I've seen more of these brawls this year than I've ever seen in the NFL.
And at the center of it was the newest superstar of the world who's having
Odell
lunch with
Beckham.
Michael Jordan and LeBron James, Odell Beckham. You ever hear about somebody getting too big for his britches? I think he's getting a little big for his britches all of a sudden.
Well,
you catch one ball.
He was expected to be a good player.
No, he is a good player.
Hold on a second.
LeBron James,
did you just say he
Michael
caught one
Jordan.
Ball?
No, I was just kidding about the catch.
Because I mean, he's got about 85 touchdowns
know,
in the last
just
6 weeks.
But you know what that is? That's what Gronk does every season. I mean, relax. You don't need to be having lunch with Michael Jordan.
And he was involved in one of these this year.
You don't need to be having lunch with Michael Jordan. And, well, first of all, he wasn't involved in a brawl.
That looked like Odell Beckham's fault.
Oh, yeah, that looked like it was all his
Steve
fault.
Steve Weatherford trying to stop him. You know who he is? He's the most and what's her name was almost in it. The sideline reporter.
This is great play-by-play, Andy. What's his name?
What's her name? She almost got caught up in it.
Yeah, she ran away. She's smart.
No, but in all seriousness, that's the kind of thing that you need to prevent. I know you guys are all tough guys with helmets on. There are female sideline reporters. There are 60-year-old men working sidelines. You throw a punch, you swing
guy?
A helmet.
Are you and all the man beetle?
No, these guys.
Who the hell are you talking to, Andy? Who the
yeah,
hell
I could
are
be
you
killed at a home
Who
game
the hell
game.
Are you mad at?
No, I'm being dead serious.
Okay,
no,
stop
I know,
yelling.
It's scary.
That's
Andy,
what happens. It's
Andy,
like the palace at Auburn Hills.
As
you go into the crowd.
As
Andy,
someone
walk
who
away
there,
from
it,
the gun.
Scary.
Step
like,
away from
Andy,
the gun, Andy.
If I'm the commissioner,
put your hands up.
I don't really care if two guys beat each other up that are in my league. Okay, they're both tough. But if they take out a female sideline reporter, I mean, what the hell's going on?
I see the scuffle coming my way. I try to grab someone and use them as a shield.
You would do that.
You should get the hell out of the way, you idiot. Don't grab anything.
Kevin's the one grabbing the female sideline reporter, being like, save me!
Right. Bill Cosby Jr. over here.
Costanza leaving the fire in the apartment.
Cupping her from behind as he grabs her.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab him and have a party.
Goes by the cause.
Email webradio@patriots.com.
That was the best email ever. I mean, call ever.
That was a very good
call. She did the perfect Fred thing. Up, 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 up. That was, and I don't want to be like sexist,
but you're going to be. So is that your preamble? I don't want to be sexist, but here I go being sexist.
No disrespect to the Orientals, like Bill Belichick. I mean, Bill Parcells once said, but I mean, did you expect that?
No.
Thanks.
Good call.
That was a great call.
That's a good call.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
And does she not? She's never called PFW Progress.
This is why. I just
not that I'm aware of.
When I see new names, because we recognize names, I always assume the call will be bad. I do, no matter male, female, doesn't matter. When I see a new name, I go, oh, I don't know what we're doing.
Not in the post-game show. The calls are clearly better in the post-game.
Yeah, that's what everyone
Here's
says.
Where Paul calls out the PFW in progress.
We got emails last week backing Paul up on that point.
We often do.
This email reads, everyone is hammering Cannon, and probably rightfully so, but how about Nate the Turnstile Solder?
Solder is a concern. The offensive line, we spent the first 15, 20 minutes of the show on that, and that's clearly... I'm really worried about it.
Rob writes in, all I remember of Cannon in this game was seeing him get blown up on the left side of the line. And again, that goes back to the point. When he's in there, bad things have happened. Bad things have happened.
Yeah, and I do think it's also, I know we've already crossed this bridge to some degree, but remember, he was the starter at guard to open the season, right? And now a guard is out, and he doesn't play guard for the second time, right? Klein had that
but
other
start. But he was worth $9 million.
But he's worth, like... It just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Do you think he gave it to the wrong guy? He meant to give it to someone else? Like, he was really happy with Stork, and he wanted to... just doesn't make sense.
Dan
I
writes,
know you can't Marcus extend can't... Stork.
No, I was just going to say, Marcus Cannon kind of sticks out for a certain reason.
Oh, for God's sakes. Unbelievably inappropriate. It's amazing that we're still on the air.
Dan writes, g'day, guys.
G'day, Mike.
I blame Andy for this close call. Anytime he says loud and proud that there's zero chance a team can beat the Patriots, it scares the bleep out of me. Seriously, though, how much of the result today was the combination of Connolly's absence and the repercussions of that Pats offensive line combined with a Jets front seven that knows how to bring the pressure?
Yeah.
Dan in Virginia. I think it's huge.
You summed it up. Nice, Dan.
There you go, Dan. Thank you, Dan.
Ball game, we talked about it. The trenches was going to be this game. Remember, I asked Eric Allen about it, basically, and he said, great question.
Mike.
And I was right.
Mike wrote this one in earlier. He writes, what an exciting, I think he wrote this before we were even on the air, just as the game ended. What an exciting finish. Andy was exactly right. This was so much better than a blowout.
See,
I wish I could experience this level of rage, nausea, and panic during every game.
People don't have ears.
And yes, I would have felt the same way if the Jets were 14-2.
Oh.
The better they are, the more likely we are to get this kind of game, or worse.
Not really, because the worse they are, you're not less likely to get this kind of game. You've been struggling with them. I just said to Beadle, next year's game's going to be a tie. It's been by 3 points, by 2 points, by 1 point. Next year's a tie ball game.
Look at this. This is a great email. You're going to enjoy this
Who am
one,
I going
to
fight now?
Andy, no, you're going to like this one. Hey, from Nick.
I'm just staying out of the
Nick,
way.
Nick, no, you can't stay out of the way.
I wish Curran were here right now.
He's on a roll.
On this, here we go. We're on a roll. Nick writes, hi, guys. You guys like caller on caller crime, but I like broadcaster on broadcaster crime more. Can you get Paul to elaborate on his distaste for Steve Burton? I thought they were buddy-buddy until Paul's comment today.
No. So did Steve Burton.
Stop it. This is not one
he
of...
He got blindsided by Paul's cheap shot. He was strutting with the Channel 4 news team, and bow, he got popped.
Bam! He writes, what's the backstory, PP, Nick and Victoria?
I'll tell you what the backstory is. The knife that's in Steve Burton's back.
Yeah. Who's the pussy now?
Oh. Anything to add to that, Paul?
That's ridiculous.
What?
There's no issue?
No, I mean, we're not friends or anything. I don't really, I'm on a show with them,
Please clip that, Kevin. We're not friends or anything.
No, I don't, like, We're not buddy. I mean, we're on a show together. I don't really know him off the air.
Oh, okay.
Very well. I mean, that's all I'm saying. It's like I know Andy. I've been working with Andy for 15 years. Right. I would consider him a friend, believe it or not, even though the way he treats me so poorly.
Why do you always say that when you say it?
Because someone upstairs said it again. I believe it or not, I'm leaving. A guy goes, "Can I know you're probably in a hurry to get back, but can I ask you, does Andy really hate you?" He goes, I got to tell you, I got to turn the show off when you guys he just starts yelling at you. And I said, no, if he ever treated me like that in real life, I would kill him. there's no beef with Steve Burton. It was a little bit of a.
You're just saying that you guys don't know each other that well.
I don't really know him all that well. Yeah.
Head coach Bill Belichick. And coach,
on air,
things are going so far. Were you surprised that Jimmy Garoppolo got in the game as early as he did? Did you want him to play with better competition?
We're funny being in the second quarter, so that was about right.
That was about right.
Now, I have participated in some mocking based on questions like that.
Based on that.
That's about right.
So that was about right.
Steve's a good guy.
Kevin, that's enough.
We've had our fun. Let's leave it alone.
Let's move on. Steve is a...
There's no beef there.
He's a friend of the organization, right?
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Good person.
Do you know his father was the first ever draft pick?
I never heard that before.
Had you never heard that?
Guys.
Yeah, that's good.
I thought we were moving on.
Oh.
Jake writes in. Let's get back to a serious football point here. Hey, guys, I want to think this team is different.
The Cowboys are killing
The Colts are killing the Colts.
Why? What did they do?
They're just dropping balls. Like, what's your guy?
They do lead the league.
Bless his heart.
Passes.
Dwayne Allen had nobody within 15 yards of him for a bomb down the sideline, dropped it.
But
the guy dropped the fake punt. I mean, they're embarrassing themselves.
They do lead the league in drop passes. That's a fact.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, according to... whatever, CBS.
That's why I was asking, because dropped passes is a biased thing.
Right. Fellas.
Not an official stat.
Email from Jake.
Sorry, Beetle. Go ahead.
We're trying to
read
do a
it.
Show here.
Jake from State Farm.
Hey, guys. I want to think this team is different.
Yeah. Didn't hear that
but
one.
But I just think this season is going to end up like 2010 through 2013.
Wait a minute.
Even with the improved defense, everyone is saying, be happy you clinched a first-round bye. But they did that before, and they didn't close the deal. Given their recent track record, I don't have confidence in this team to win in the playoffs. What do you guys think? Thanks, Jake.
I have fears that the fatal flaw could be the offensive line. And I know Patriots fans have nightmares of the offensive line being the fatal flaw because they've seen it before. But what I would say is, your defense, despite whatever you thought of today, maybe, is better. You have Darrelle Revis. Your pass defense is better. More importantly, you have Rob Gronkowski, and I know fans are like, oh, maybe we don't have Julian Edelman. I'm sorry, I don't put Edelman on Gronkowski's level in terms of importance to the offense. You took a step back, but I thought Amendola did a decent job today against a very good defense. I think it's a different team. I may be wrong, and maybe I'll say, wow, that Seattle defensive front kicked the Patriots' ass on February 2nd. Up front and won the game. I just don't think it's the same old team because of Gronk and Revis. You have three stars instead of one.
Jake is not the only one saying things along these lines. Megan writes in, hey guys.
Hey girl.
What a terrible looking win. I think what's most disturbing is the offensive line. They're trending down at an accelerated pace.
That's true.
Another thing, the slow starts are getting longer. This team can't survive in the playoffs if they sleepwalk through the first two quarters in the postseason. I don't know, guys. Today felt like a loss. I can't describe it in any other way. I'll leave it on a positive note, though. No one was injured. Take care, guys, and have a Merry Christmas. Megan.
You too. Thank you, Megan. Ho, ho, ho.
And to take it a step further.
Not you. That was a celebration.
You got nobody injured in the game, at least that we know of. I'm sure there's some nicks and bumps and bruises. Jonas Gray left the game for a little bit. But you also were able to rest a few guys that came into the game injured, and obviously those three guys didn't get any more injured sitting out, and you still were able to win the game. So in that regard, you should be even healthier moving forward with Edelman, Arrington, and Conley. And Blunt, four guys, right?
Yes.
Four guys that didn't play that came into the game with injuries.
And
so
hopefully they didn't, kick their coffee table while watching out of anger.
Right.
Debbie writes in, a pitiful game. If the Pats,
a lot of female interaction tonight.
If the Pats play the first quarter in the playoffs like they did today, they could lose. We won't be going to the Super Bowl. And I don't blame Giselle. Blame TB12. Thank Amendola for a change. Very disappointed in the effort today. It's from Debbie. People are, I don't know, maybe the foundation is being shaken a little bit.
Well, here. I will say, I'm going to assume that my
confidence
friend,
is being shaken for
Chris
sure,
Ferreira,
for sure.
The webmaster of Patriots.com.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he has some bad Brady type comments from today. And I think it's very simple. Bad Brady comes a lot of times when bad O-line comes. And it's been that way since basically post 2008, ever since the knee injury. That bad O-line equals bad Brady. This was his third lowest passer rating of the season. As we talked about earlier, a whole stretch of games here with interceptions. It wasn't good today, but the defense on the other side is decent. Right?
Well,
defensive front is a challenge.
That defensive front is.
You didn't meet that challenge. That's can't be argued.
Defensive front is, but as Smacker writes in webradio@patriots.com,
a.k.a. Ray Rice.
Jets are bad, and they have corners off the street. The Jets are bad. This is not good, in my opinion.
But Paul likes 22.
Whoever that was.
I forget his name now. The guy who had the pick at the beginning. He's a rookie, right? I thought he was pretty competitive in the game, and he had the long dread, so it covered his name, so I couldn't see what his name was all game.
Which is a flaw for those guys. Your dreads can be your trademark, but if they cover your name, then...
And plus, it's not really a trademark, because so many guys have them now.
They're cliche, you think?
Well, I don't know.
Remember Chris in Arizona, he called earlier about this point about...
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go back. Chris is back on the line.
Chris is back?
What do you need, Chris? What's going on?
I have to be back, yeah. I mean, after Andy and Kevin attacked me on live airs...
I did not attack you, did I?
Yeah.
I defended you.
You know, it's funny because Paul was the voice of reason and absolutely read exactly what my emotionality was about it.
As usual. Defending the Patriots, Fred.
If I had a dollar for everybody who said I was the voice of reason.
Yeah, Paul was right, though, in the sense of what I'm trying to get at is...
Which is what?
I appreciate the wins like everybody else. I would never, ever... I love my team. I listen to every pre and post game, every PFW. I went to the Super Bowl out here in Arizona. That we lost, you know, the whole nine. I mean, I live and die with it, spend tons of money on this team, the whole nine. So from a fan's perspective, it is scary, guys, when we're not handling crap teams like the Jets in Miami and things like that, when we go through the gauntlet of, you know, all the better teams, the superior teams, and hold our own and lose to, you know, Green Bay barely. And then we play down to our competition, and we can't get going in the first and second quarters of games. And like I said, when you're handing out, you know, $9 million to Marcus Cannons of the world and, you know, keeping the Dan Connollys of the world and stuff like that, we have to build from the inside out on the lines. So that means that we waste draft picks on the lines, and we've wasted God knows how many in the defensive backfield, right? So now, instead of getting the excited, you know, the exciting players when you draft or go through free agency or whatever, we have to continuously concentrate on defensive backs, on offensive line and whatever. So again, the product then turns out to be pretty boring and lame to watch when you don't get to see a Dez Bryant or, the, you know, wide receiver, Calvin Johnson for the Lions.
So would you rather be the Lions, the Cowboys, or the Patriots?
No, and this is, and I talked to Kevin off the air about it, and I want to make it very, very clear. I'm very happy to dig out these wins. I just don't like watching us struggle so mightily against such crappy, crappy teams. And you would think that at the end, we don't need a 50 burger for me to be entertained, guys. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't need to dominate these teams, but I want to handle them.
Yeah, winning like 27-10 today would have been every bit is comfortable, but being having a chance to lose the game today to me was a huge, huge surprise. Having it be competitive because it was an emotional game for Rex Ryan and all the stuff that people talked about and Andy talked about with the callers in the pregame about it being a dogfight, somewhat understandable. But I never ever envisioned a game in which they could lose. And they were a blocked field goal away from having a chance
to lose.
Listen,
I can understand being frustrated with your team playing down to the level of the competition because you know if you're a Patriots fan today, the Patriots are a much better team than the New York Jets. I believe that. You guys believe it. I think most people do believe that to be the case. Jets fans believe that to be the case.
Well, geez, I mean, they have 3 wins. So you have 12.
So you don't like to see when it's a one-point game and it's close and it's frustrating. But to invoke... Well, you know, they don't have a Dez Bryant. They don't have a Calvin Johnson. I don't know what it is that you are looking for.
And you like, have a Rob Gronkowski.
If the Patriots won by 3 touchdowns going away today, that still doesn't mean you had Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant. Like, I don't get it.
And you playing down to your competition, you know, against these teams that aren't good. Well, first of all, you did that against two division teams, if you want to say, on opening day and a couple games against the Jets. And I know we mock it sometimes, but, you know, division games are different. And Bill always beats us over the head with it. You know, tough division games, you know each other well, stuff happens.
And that's all true. And I do think that funny things sometimes happen in division
teams. Kansas City is not a crap team that you got beat by in week four. You weren't good. The Raiders game, that's a playing down to your competition.
That was a crap.
There's three games. Andy, there's three games. The Oakland game and both Jets games, you had games that were closer than they should have been.
Well, and I would include the Miami game as you lost it. You know, you.
Oh, I'm talking about. I'm talking about the games that they won.
Right, but you're even better than Miami.
Right.
I'm
talking about winning and still not being.
If you're worried
about frustrated with a win,
playing down to the level of your competition, then doesn't that worry go out the door in January? Because the level of your competition goes up. It's now the Broncos and the Colts and the teams that you did well against.
Right. I would say look at the way you played against Denver. Look at the way you played against Indianapolis. Look at the way you played a good game against Green Bay.
And I just. You know, he sort of got into some drafting stuff there, too.
He won a good game on the road against San Diego.
About, you know, you miss on
you
these drafts.
Blew up the Bengals at home.
Can I talk?
Go ahead. Well, you do that to me like every 5 minutes. So
I know, which is why I was thinking
so
that
offended.
Was kind of ironic.
Don't act so offended by
I was thinking
please.
The whole thing was kind of rich.
Right? Yeah. Fine.
But he got into the draft there, too. Like, you miss on draft picks, so you have to. Yeah, but you hit on some too. I mean, that became just like this really big, big.
You know what, Andy? It's tough being a Patriots fan. You know, it's really tough. It's really hard.
Going to the AFC
it's
title
really
game
hard
for the fourth straight
year. It's a
really
hard thing to do. It's really a struggle. It's a grind.
I feel like you're mocking
me. It's a grind. It really is. I feel your pain. It's a real grind to be a Patriots fan. It's tough to watch the best coach and the best quarterback every week. It really does suck. I hate it. I can't stand it.
And there is nothing
worse.
I think
I'm going to quit this job, Andy. I can't take this anymore.
There's nothing worse than watching a team with a close win.
Hey, on the Twitter machine?
Yeah.
What did we miss?
There's a quick thing here. I guess in Tampa today?
Yeah, I was telling Andy about that off the air.
Oh, I didn't hear you guys talking about that. Seven people struck by lightning. At least seven people struck by lightning.
Right outside the stadium, right after the game.
Wow.
Shortly following the conclusion of that game, there was a lightning strike.
That's scary.
Dead or?
Doesn't say.
They don't know. They just know that they responded to the call. Yeah, scary. That is scary, man. Yeah. Lightning is a scary thing in my book. Because you know what it is, though, Andy? You know the odds are so slim, right? It's like, what are the odds of being struck by lightning? And then it happens, and you're like, oh, damn. Like, it can actually happen to you, though.
Right, and it's a bad thing. Like, literally, if you're going to get struck by lightning proverbially, can't it be a good thing? Like, I won a car! I won the lottery!
Right,
no, I actually have to get struck by freaking lightning for my thing that's like getting struck by lightning.
Let's take a timeout here on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show, and when we come back, we hear from Tom Brady. That's next. Go nowhere.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt. Before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio. Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
Welcome back to the
Where's Mariah? What is this, a Mariah free zone?
We'll finish up with that today, Andy. How's that sound?
All I want for Christmas.
That'll be like your little carrot to stay focused and get to the end of the show.
He does talk have a
about
carrot.
You don't talk about my little carrot.
That's your wife. Only she gets to talk about the little carrot.
You should know I got a little wiener. Little carrot. Whenever she's willing, I'm able.
Which isn't often.
Yeah. You're married too?
Yeah. Yep. And my wife's been having kids for 2 straight years. What can I say?
Whoa.
What?
Unless you're really in a bad marriage, your wife has not been having kids for 2 straight years. Takes two to tango.
Yeah, no, I know, but you know what I'm saying.
She's been knocked up for a couple of years?
Yes. Yeah. You know how that goes.
You're in trouble if she's listening.
She's not. She has probably listened to not a single one of these programs in 2 years.
Oh, that hurts.
Does your wife listen?
No.
No, okay then. Paul?
I'm not even sure my wife knows what I do for
exactly. I think sometimes my wife wonders what I do for a living. I'm not sure she quite knows.
Well, since Deidre Hart called twice during this show, she certainly wasn't worried about interrupting a radio
Those
show.
Are my favorites when you get the call. I'm like, hon, 12 to 2 every day, PFW in progress.
It's kind of a thing. It's kind of a thing. You know? Anyway, welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. We're rolling on here until the top of the hour. Want to remind you, the Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. Tom Brady. Today, managed to get a win for the Patriots, but he was 23 of 35, 182 in the passing game. He had one touchdown. That was to Rob Gronkowski. Great play, by the way. We haven't spent a lot of time on that touchdown. That was a nice play. Gronk doing his thing. And one interception today, 4 sacks, and he had a quarterback rating of 76. 6.1. That was the line on Brady today. Here's what he had to say after the win.
Yeah, we made plenty of good ones in the fourth quarter to come from behind. So that was great. Defensively, played great again. And come from behind. So that was great. Defensively, played great again. And I'm glad it came out the way that it did. It makes for a better Christmas. So it's always tough to get a win here. They're a good team. They always play us pretty hard. And we got their best today. And we obviously didn't do a very good job there in the first three quarters. But we found a little rhythm there in the second half and got some points on the board. So made some plays at the end. So it's about making the critical plays, and we found a way to do it.
Did you go over your run? I mean, no offense, but do you think you're becoming too bold with those legs of yours as you try to get some extra yards?
I just hope, I can keep doing it. So if I can make one or two of those a game, it helps. And I thought I had opportunity to make a couple more that I just missed on. Kind of scrambling out there, and I had Shane in the end zone open, and I threw it at his feet. I would have loved to hit that one. But they're a good team. They challenge you in a lot of ways, and certainly they have a good rush. They got some real good guys, some good matchups. They always do every week, get a lot of pressure. So it kind of kept us off balance early, and we figured a way to settle it down a little bit in the second half, and we played a little bit better.
Tom, what's to do for a team that's continually able to win close division games for the last 5 years? The Jets have gone down to the last possession, or it's been by possession. What's to do for you guys to continually win these games in the division by the slim margin that you always do?
Yeah, they're slim margins. I think it always comes down to the last play. I just wish we'd play better. For 60 minutes, and we just haven't figured out a way to play against these guys as well as we possibly can. So, we got to keep fighting, and sometimes you got to grind them out. It's tough to win games in the NFL, certainly on the road against division opponents, division rivals. But we got a big one coming up next week. We got to finish strong at home in the division. It'd be great to get to 5-1, especially after losing the first division game to win four straight. It's been great, five straight. It'd be good to four straight. Got to win the fifth one. Been hitting the head too many times.
You went 2 minutes, whatever. Started second half there. How much of that was designed to slow them down?
That was good. We got into a little rhythm there. I think it settled a few things down. But we got to sustain it and get it in the end zone down there. We kind of came up short on that 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2, whatever it was. We just got to finish those drives, especially when the key drives like that, where you finally can get a little momentum, a little rhythm. But we just, it was a good defense. They challenged us, had a long field all day. We got a couple good short fields that we took advantage of, but, defense really stepped up when we needed it to.
How much of it is sort of stylistic, their style, that you are certain, fight certain styles that are a problem?
Yeah.
And then the same guy can beat somebody easily, and the other guy can't beat. Is it stylistic to a degree on how they attack you?
It could be. I think this is a team that is, they do a lot of things well. They got a good scheme. They got good players. Got a good rush. Good in the middle of the defense, good middle linebacker, good safeties. So, the corners played good today. So I just think we got their best, and I think we kind of sputtered there, got out of rhythm, and finally found a little rhythm there in the second half. And scored enough points. Yeah, we just weren't very productive in the pass game in general. So whether it was really Gronk or JoJo LaFell or Danny, we didn't really find a rhythm all day.
About what Amendola was able to provide the offense just without Julian.
Did a great job. He's really been looking for this opportunity. So, I thought he did a great job in there in the role that he played. And he's a very good player for us. So, did a good job returning some great kicks and punts. It'll be good to get Jules back next week. We hopefully can get back next week.
Take us back to the interception, too. So I know you had some pressure there, the one to LaFell on the left sideline, what you saw that led to that.
It's a comeback. We just couldn't hit it. So hate to do that. Hate to have those things come up. I'm glad our defense held. Ended up working out for us in a weird way. So, you know, I wish those things wouldn't happen.
Tom, when you guys go up tempo and have success, just almost on the call, I think the logical question from the outside is, well, why the hell don't they do that all the time? Just stay up tempo and keep with that pressure. Is there a dumbed down answer you can give to? Why not?
That's a good question. And I think, you know, there's definitely times where we do a good job of it. I don't know. You know, that's a good question. We do it at different times, and sometimes it works, and I don't know.
Tom, 4 sacks today, a lot of pressure from the Jets. In the last few weeks, there's been a decent amount of pressure. Are you concerned at all about your offensive line up front? Do you feel like they're still giving you good protection?
Yeah, I think they're giving good protection. I just think our communication wasn't great. So we had a lot of things where, you know, we just all weren't on the same page. And when you do that, especially against a team that moves a lot of guys in and out of their defensive front and they blitz linebackers and safeties and, you know, they got a lot of guys coming, you know, our communication needs to be on point. And it just, it's kind of sputtered. So we got to be able to do a better job of that, especially here down the stretch.
I'm glad we get to see Vince's hand get in the way of that field goal attempt by Full.
Awesome. I mean, he's always a big time playmaker for us. So he's a great player, and he always makes great plays. So you really count on those guys, especially when offense wasn't doing as well, to get plays like that from Vince. You know, Jamie Collins, Hightower, Revis, Browner, and all those guys in there are doing a great job.
What were your thoughts on Bolden's run, you know, to close it out, bounce it out wide? I mean, I don't know, was that where the run was supposed to go? Does he bounce it out because of something he sees? What was your view of that?
Just a phenomenal run, I mean, he's a great back. It's just great to see, give him the ball, and he's got such great explosion. He can turn the corner. You know, his role on special teams is huge, so he's just a great player for us. Whenever he gets opportunity, his number gets called, he always takes advantage of it. So he made some just great runs tonight.
How much of these games are you versus Rex mentally, and how exhausting is it? Not only the preparation, but the game itself.
Yeah, it's a smart defense. It's really, you know, quality players on the defensive line and in the linebacker level. I mean, they played together for a long time. They get pressure on you. They kind of get you off balance early, and then you're thinking about things all day, and it just keeps you out of rhythm. And I think, you know, we did some good things with the tempo to settle that down, to play, to kind of find a little rhythm. But we just didn't score enough points or a lot of points. You know, we got to be able to do a better job on what we did. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Tom. Happy holidays. Let's go back to the phone lines here on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. We go to Corey in Wisconsin. What's up, Corey?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great.
I think everybody's getting being a little too quick to judge. I think the Patriots are going to explode into the playoffs, and I think they're going to beat back all comers and get to the Super Bowl and get that fourth ring that, you know, Brady's been looking for.
I like your faith. That was certainly the tone of our pregame show.
And that's what everybody else thinks too. So I mean,
it's just not the tone of the postgame show. Well, not everybody.
I mean, they're entrenched
now.
As the
Patriots fans
to
are talking
to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about Patriots fans are now worried about the fatal flaws. Oh. Feels like the same old team.
With the Giants eliminated from the playoffs, I'm not too worried about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, those damn Seahawks, though.
You guys have a great day.
See you, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.
Appreciate the call, Corey. Next week, it's the Buffalo Bills for the Patriots. We're keeping an eye on that Buffalo game right now in Oakland. Paul just made a comment off the air. It's kind of similar to the Patriots-Jets game.
Yeah, Oakland's really controlled the game and kicking field goals, and it's only 13-7, but you have a feeling that Buffalo might be able to squeak by. But I thought this game could have been a bad one for Buffalo. They're coming off that big win at home against Green Bay. They think they're good. They go out to Oakland and lay an egg.
They think they're good.
They're not, I mean, let's face it, they're not. They have no offense. This is a very similar team as the Jets. It's a very similar team as the Jets. They have a pretty good defense and no offense.
Now, as we said earlier, what happens for the Patriots going into that game will depend on what happens with the Denver game against the Bengals on Monday night. With that being the case, you know, we can't predict that yet. But what do you think the mindset of the Bills is going to be coming in here? Final game of the year, playing out the string. Are they the type of team that's just going to, okay, got to play this final game? Or are they motivated because maybe defensively you got spikes in there and – Well,
if they win
against
if
the
they win this
still,
game,
and Belichick, and,
if right. they win this game, my guess is they wouldn't be eliminated, right?
Right. So it's still. I'm just saying, if this holds up,
if they
up,
lose, then that's game set.
If
match,
this holds right? up, if this holds up in Oakland, they're down right now 13-7. It's not even halftime yet. But if that were to hold up,
They'll probably be disappointed and it'll probably be tough. But
they're
not sure going to hold up.
They also will have an opportunity, and I don't know if this is going to be enough to get them motivated. But correct me if I'm wrong, but they're 8-6 right now, right?
I think so.
So if they lose and they're 8-7, they would have at least a chance to have a winning record, and they haven't had a winning record since Bledsoe. So, yes, I intentionally told you the last time they had a winning record.
I like that ball. That's
so
good.
I do think that gives them, you know, there's different goals for different organizations, and I think finishing 9-7, especially if they could do so by winning on the road against the Patriots, I think there would be reason to play. I don't think they'll be able to get it. We can save that for the pregame social next week.
Sure. But,
yeah, I think they'll have some motivation.
Steelers got a win this week. That was
correct.
Big for them. Bengals obviously have a lot to play for in their game. So you've got a situation where maybe the Bills, if they get, I don't know what the tiebreakers are and the procedures and what they need to have happen for them if they come back and win today and then win again next week. But
they're on the move, looking to score before halftime.
If they lose
if
today,
the Bills can finish
10-6,
if the Bills can finish 10-6, they'll have a shot. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the tiebreakers are either, but you know, 10-6 will give you an opportunity.
All right, we'll get ready for it next week with the pregame show once again. Coming up before that game, here you go, Andy. Here's a song for you.
Well, I just want to tell Patriots fans to cheer up.
Yeah.
I don't think there's
a lot of Christmas.
I don't think there are a lot of Patriots fans that are that down, Andy. I think there's a couple that we've heard from today.
Okay, well, even the ones that are upset, get over it. Your team has a bye. It's Christmas week. Your team won by a point. I know it was only a point, but it got a road win against a tough division team.
Secured a bye.
I mean, you got plenty to be happy for. Enjoy the holiday week and then the finale. Who knows? After tomorrow night, you might even have more to be happy for. You might be the number one seed looking to see some Jimmy Garoppolo in the second half next week.
That's a lot. All right.
Just be happy. Don't worry.
Hey, fellas.
Be happy.
Have a nice holiday.
You too.
Merry
and good
Christmas.
Luck with the
Merry Christmas.
Off-pregnant wife.
Yeah, that could happen. That could happen any day. There could be some Christmas babies there.
Yeah, well, I hope we get to see you next week, and then you have the babies, and you have a nice bye week to enjoy them for a little bit. And you're back with us.
I think the odds are pretty good of me being here next week. Good.
Santa's going to deliver a baby for you?
Don't you tell her to hold it so you can be the first babies of like the year, and then you get a big prize?
No, I don't want that, and I'll explain that to you off the air why I want them born this year, and it's not just the taxes.
Tax purposes.
I assumed it was taxes.
Not just the taxes. There's a sports-related purpose, and we'll talk about that off
I'm going to have to make fun of you now.
Because this show is coming to an end. This show is coming
Merry
to
Christmas.
An end. Merry Christmas, Paul. Merry Christmas, Andy.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Kev. To everyone that joined us today, phone calls, emails, all you guys, thanks for participating.
And
we
quick reminder,
appreciate it.
The Patriots did actually win today. So
they
be
did.
Happy.
So be happy. Merry Christmas. Have a good week. We'll talk to you as a group again next weekend.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.